we thank you. Let's just raise your, if you got a Bible or if you got it on your phone or if you got it on an iPad, just hold it up. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. Doesn't contain truth, it is truth. And so, Lord, we thank you every jot, every tittle, every period, every sentence, every word is inspired by God, Lord, and we thank you for the Word of God. The Bible says it is living, it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to discern. It's able to separate things like bones and marrow. Nobody could do that without killing somebody. But Lord, your word can separate the intentions of our heart. So Lord, God, separate the intentions of our heart. Take the things of the world away and give us the things of the Spirit, God. I just pray, Lord, that we'd be motivated and ready to be about your business, Jesus, because we love you. We serve you. Hold your hands up. We serve you, Jesus, because we love you. We don't serve you because you're a mean master. You're a mean Lord. You said that if you love me, then you will obey me. So, Lord, we are grateful, aren't we? We're grateful servants, God. Thank you for allowing me to serve you. And, Lord Jesus, you said if I was a servant, how much more should you be a servant? So, Lord, thank you again for your word. Change us. We all need more, don't we? Give us a fresh anointing this morning. I thank you when we come up for prayer today, God, that all of heaven will come down, Lord. God, we pray right now in the classrooms, Jesus. Oh, they're just little kids. Oh, yes. Yes. And the kingdom of God is made up of these little children. So, God, we thank you that you move in these classes. We thank you for Samuel. We thank you, God, that you anoint him with power from on high. We thank you that you anoint Donna to bring forth the word and anoint these little ones to receive. To receive, God. To receive, Jesus. We thank you they're going to grow up quick in the Spirit and be able to do awesome things. In Jesus' name, we love you, Lord. Ephesians 5. I'll give you all a second to get there if you want to read along with me. Ephesians 5, starting at verse 8. Y'all got it? That's looking? Y'all got it? Did I forget anything today? We had quite a full menu today. I praise God when that's the case. Verse 8, for you were once darkness. Who's he talking to here? He's talking to believers. He's talking to Christians. You were once darkness. Now, you'd think, well, some people aren't dark. They're just a little, a little dim, but not dark. The Bible says you were once darkness. Don't matter if you were a drug addict. Don't matter if you was a murderer. Don't matter if you just told a white lie once or twice. You were darkness. Everybody in here was darkness. And if you're not born again, you're still darkness. Okay? But now you are what? Light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. The fruit of the Spirit is what? All goodness, righteousness, and truth. Find out what is acceptable to the Lord. Find out what is acceptable to the Lord. How do you do that? Listen to Pastor Mark on Sunday? Well, hopefully you'll find something. You know, hopefully I'll say something that will lead you in that direction. But if you've got a copy of the Bible, that's what's going to lead you into all righteousness. You know, you really should check Pastor Mark out every week. You really ought to follow along because Pastor Mark could deceive you. Pastor Mark could make up stuff. Pastor Mark could add to the Word of God. Pastor Mark could take away from the Word of God. You need to read the Word of God for yourself. Okay? And if you can't read, praise God, you can now, on your telephone, you can sit there and listen to the Word. What a gift, man. And not only that, I can listen to it in almost any version I want to, you know. It's incredible. Technology's brought some real evil on, but don't let it be used for evil. Use it for the glory of God, okay? Find out what is acceptable to the Lord. And to me, he didn't say this, but to me, find out what's acceptable. And what do you do when you find out what's acceptable? You do it. They don't say that, but that's understood. You find out what pleases God and you do it, right? How many of y'all, I know Glenna's got a good husband, good man, isn't he? Provider, works hard, loves his family. You love him, right? You try to please him. You don't intentionally cook bad meals for him, right? I'm sure you're a very good cook, but I'm just saying you don't go out of your way to displease him or rebel against him, right? You used to. That's right, because you were darkness, right? You instigated a lot. Okay. Find out what is acceptable to the Lord and have what? No fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Expose them. Galatians 5:16. Y'all go there. I'm sure y'all know this verses. I'm sure you do, but go there and look at it anyway. This is the New King James Version, but whatever version you... I say then, verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. What Spirit? Capital S. What Spirit are we talking about? Holy Spirit, like Kristen was talking about a minute ago. Walk in the Spirit. And if you do that, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What's the lust of the flesh? The pride of life? Sin? Adultery? Fornication? Well, let's look here. The flesh lusts against the Spirit, and that lust means wars. It's like it's a war going on. How many of y'all ever had a war going on? Your body and your flesh wants to do this, but you know that God wants you to do this. Have you ever had a war? You probably had one this morning, you know. You might have had one deciding whether you wanted to come out in the slick roads or not. There was a war going on. The flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another. What does that mean? It means they oppose each other. It's like, have you ever taken two magnets and turned them to where they repel each other? It's like that. So you do not do the things that you wish, but if you are led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So what happens if you don't inherit the kingdom of God? Hell, exactly. And if you notice there, it says... It doesn't say if you slip, because the Bible says if you sin, you know, you confess, and Jesus washes you from every sin. It's not like he's sitting up there with a hammer waiting for you to make a mistake. But when you say practice, it means it's a lifestyle. That's your lifestyle of sin. It's your lifestyle to do wrong. It's your lifestyle. But if you should fall... If you should sin, and the Bible says you have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his blood will wash you from all sin. So I probably sinned this morning. No, I know I did. So I repented of it. Repent quickly of your sin. No, I wasn't shooting dope this morning. But you know what? Even a thought, even around, just keep a clean balance with God just so you'll be closer to Him. Like Kristen said, He wants you to be close to Him. It's exciting. But the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is what? Love. Say it. Love. Say it. Love. Joy. Peace. Long-suffering. What's long-suffering? Yes. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. Self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have what? Crucified. What's crucified? That's crucified. Nail it to the tree, right? Make a public spectacle of it, right? Have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Listen to this. This is good news. This is good news here, man. If we live in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Has anybody ever had trouble loving people? Oh, come on, guys. Come on. Surely there's somebody that has rubbed you the wrong way. But through the whole, think how it must have been to be nailed to a cross, people spitting on you, cursing on you, calling you everything, saying you're a fake, you're a liar. And you go, Father, forgive them. They don't even, if you realize that people that treat you like that, they don't even know what they're doing. And sometimes Christians persecute you and they don't even know what they're doing. Because if they did, being renewed and being light, they wouldn't do that, would they? What? The fruit of the Spirit is love. What else? Joy. Joy. Joy, joy. What's joy? Joy? I think it's also having peace even when in everything on the outside is like raw, but on the inside you're like smooth. Smooth. Love, joy, peace. Whoa, peace. What's peace? The absence of turmoil. The absence, what's the opposite of peace? Turmoil, warring, what? Give me some, what's the opposite of peace? What do you think of? What? Torment? Dissension? Disturbance? Thinking about everything. Having to, yeah, got a burden on you to think about it, figure everything out. I've been there. I have a hard time letting stuff go sometimes. Y'all know that, you know, but I'm learning. You gotta let things go. You gotta let God take care of things. That don't mean you don't do your part. That don't mean you're lazy or slothful. You do what you can do and then you rest, knowing that God's gonna take care of you. When you gotta work overtime on Preston. What part of Preston Highway were you on, son? It wasn't that bad when I was working. Was it in Germantown or was it out? Grade Lane. I know that well. Love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, patience. I'll tell y'all a little bit about patience. I got so much patience this week. No, it blew me away. I got so much, and I got peace that I haven't had in years. Let me tell you how I got it. My aunt, I was made POA over her estate, which you think, oh, that's really great. Well, let me tell you. That's not really great. But I'm honored. I'm honored because I was, you know, the amazing thing is I was the black sheep in the family. And the other ones were straight up. They never got in trouble. They never did nothing wrong. They graduated from college. They did everything right. And many years ago when they were still, my aunt and uncle were still pretty much self-sufficient, one day they said, here, we want you to be POA when things get to that point. I'm like, why do you want me? Because No, I was like, why would you want me? And they didn't want nothing to do with the gospel, but I had preached to them. And they knew, somehow inside they knew, if somebody loved Jesus, they should be trustworthy. It wasn't because I was smart or educated. So I thought, well, that's cool. Well, I've been taking care of her checks and stuff, which I don't do very well, but I said, I'm not going to put this on Donna. So I've been doing well, writing checks and everything. Well, when the money runs out, which it does in a nursing home pretty quick, you can go through a couple $300,000 like that. So it ran out in December. So the lady at the nursing home told me to call her when it ran out, and she would tell me what I needed to do. So she told me I needed to go to the Social Security Administration on Broadway in Louisville, Kentucky. So I think it was last Friday. I went there about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and there was literally 400 people in there waiting for their ticket to be called. I'm like, no, I will come early. Most people don't come early. So I think it was Monday morning. I got there at like 7 in the morning, didn't open until 8:30, so praise God, I'm third in line. Yes, Jesus, it's worth sitting here waiting an hour instead of 5. And so I got my number, they called me back. I talked to the lady, and I said, now this is about Medicaid, this is about this. She said, oh no, sir, you're in the wrong place. The Social Security Administration has nothing to do with this. I said, okay, where'd I go? L&N building on Broadway. Y'all know where that is? It's the Medicaid or whatever. So I'm like, okay, I'll go down there. Guess what? I opened the door. No, only about 200 people. So I wait in line, They call my number. I thought, well, this is pretty quick. You know, it went pretty quick. I go up to the lady and she says, oh, sir, you must go to the third floor. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get rushed right through. Get up to the third floor. Turn in my ticket. There's the waiting room over there. I walk into this huge room, and it was full, probably 150 people. And they're calling a name out about every 5 minutes. So you go figure. So I sat there all day. But I finally, praise God, got in. And really, it was peaceful. I got to witness to 3 people that day. I got to pray for a guy that just got out of jail. I mean, we had a good time. But still, I would have rather not done it. So I go in and talk to the lady, nicest lady, sweetest lady you ever met. She said, now I've got some homework for you. You've got to go to a lawyer and get this done. You've got to get all these forms from Social Security and blah, 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 blah. You call Social Security, and what do they do? Oh, I can't talk to you unless I've got permission from... I'm like, well, she's there, and I'm here. I got a POA. Well, we don't recognize POAs. I'm like, anyway, all week last week was like, all the way through Friday, I think I've got just about everything done. But, you know, I feel a new peace because it was just like, wow, my life's so uncomplicated compared to what other people have to go through all the time, you know. So I just praise God for that. And I'm not lifting me up. Normally I would have freaked, but God put this He put something in me that allowed me to do what I don't do well, wait in line and stuff, and a bureaucracy. Anyway, y'all have dealt with it. But sometimes you go through things, I think, to purify you and get you ready for the next level. So I don't know what's coming after this. Maybe people waiting in line all day to get in the church. Yeah. Why not? So love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So So if you're born again and you've got the Holy Spirit living in you, guess what? You have love. You have joy. You have peace. You have patience. You have gentleness. You have kindness. You have faithfulness. You have all temperance. You have all the fruits of the Holy Spirit available. Then why am I like this sometimes? Because you're not walking in the Spirit. Well, that's easy for you to say. No, it's not easy for me to say. And I think we all have things that push our button more than others, right? Some people have no problem. Love, love, love. They have no problem with it. But patience, 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 you know. God has provided. When you get born again, when you get the Holy Spirit, guess what? All that is available. And it's refined, and God gets you closer and closer and closer to Him. Is that right, Glenna? If you got closer in the last, how long have you been your journey back with the Lord? How long has it been? A year and a half? A year, January 27th. 2 years. Wow. That's hard to believe. Was it when Joanna was Joanna here? A year ago in May, and that was at Joanna's meeting. Living for God. Yeah, I like that. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm going to go on here, but you know, some churches sometimes use different terminology, but it's really the same thing. I don't even know who it is, but they talk about sanctification. Is that holiness or Wesleyan or? I don't know. But sanctification is being set apart. And I'm not saying, you know, you get saved, and then I think there's a point in time where you decide, I'm giving everything. You know, you get saved, and people say, well, you made Him your Savior, but you didn't make Him your Lord. And I don't know about that theology, okay? I just know when I was 15 years old, I made Him my Savior. And when the trials came, and when the temptations came, I got swept away quickly. But when I came back at 29 years old, guess what? I knew the whole time He wanted everything. He didn't just want a little piece of Mark. He wanted my whole life. And when I decided, when I made that decision to do that, everything changed. It was like, bam! And I grew up in public school. And they taught evolution way back then. And I was like a boat being tossed to and fro, to and fro. And you know, one day, I hadn't been saved too long, but I was reading, just consuming the Bible. And one day I'm like, God, you know, I want to believe all this stuff, but some of this stuff's just kind of far out. No, really. Some of the stuff in the Bible's like, whoa, what would you call that, supernatural? So if God spoke everything into existence, He must be supernatural, above the natural, isn't He? So one day I decided, God, I don't understand everything written in here, but by faith, I just made a statement. By faith, I choose to believe. I make a choice to believe what I don't understand. And you know what? From that point on, all doubt was gone. When I read the Word of God, it was truth, and that's the way it was. And if I could follow it, that's good. But if I don't follow it, I'm rebelling against God. And once I knew that in my heart, everything changed. Y'all ever experienced that? And I don't care what you call it. You can put any tag on it you want. But He is my Lord. Is He your Lord? Praise the Lord. We do have a covenant. I'm just going to read this, and I'm going to try not to comment on it, okay? I'm going to try. David was anointed king of Israel while Saul was still in power, right? So Saul chased him and tried to kill him and did about everything he could because he was jealous. But do you remember when that demon of rage used to come on Saul and he would rant and rave and he would throw spears at David and try to pin him to the wall? It said when he would freak out like that, he would call for them to bring David and his harp, and David would play psalms of the Lord, and Saul found peace in that. Right? But he still chased him. He still tried to take his life. So one day Saul was killed in battle, and David was anointed in front of the people. I think Samuel anointed him originally, didn't he? And I'm going to try to cut this way down. 1 Chronicles 13. David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and every leader. And David said to all the assembly of Israel, "If it seems good to you, and if it is good of the Lord our God, let us send out to our brethren everywhere who are left in all the land of Israel, with them the priests and the Levites who are in the cities and their common lands, that they may gather together to us. And let us bring the ark of God back to us, for we have not inquired at it since the days of Saul." Then all the assembly said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So the ark was what? God's presence. And what was in the ark? The law, the commandments, the manna was in there, the presence, and that God would feed you and take care of you. And what else was in there? The rod, the supernatural rod that budded and brought forth flowers. Did it even bring forth almonds? I think it even brought forth almonds after it was severed from the tree. So the supernatural, the law of God, and what? Manna, the bread of life, right? They were all there in the ark. So that means that Israel had been living off their own strength. They had not been living off the presence of God for a long time, right? I'm going to go to 7. They carried the ark of God on a new cart from the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drove the cart. Then David and all Israel played music before God with all their might, with singing on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on cymbals, and with trumpets. And when they came to Chidon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and he struck him because he put his hand on the ark, and he died there before God. David became very angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah. Therefore, that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of God that day, saying, "How can I bring the ark of God to me?" David would not move the ark with him into the city of David, but took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. The ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in the house for 3 months, and the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. So, they had all these music playing. They had this worship going, and they were dancing and singing and praising the Lord. They were offering a sacrifice, right? Wouldn't you say they were offering a sacrifice to the Lord? With a sacrifice of praise, they were worshiping Him with all their heart, strength, mind, soul, right? But the Word of God says that Lord desires obedience rather than sacrifice. and he'd set away to carry the ark. He had set away it was supposed to be done. And you think, oh, how cruel. This man was just trying to keep the ark from falling off of this cart. That they had seen pagans doing this is how they came up with this. They didn't hear that from God. So we do things the way God tells us to do, and it's not always a convenient way. It's not always the shortest way. It doesn't always happen in the timing that we think it should happen. I'm not going to read the rest of this because I'd like to share this next week, but just to kind of set things up a little bit. I'm going to read one verse. They went up to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. And David said, God has broken through my enemies by my hand like a breakthrough of water. So there's a breakthrough. There's a breaking of the norm. There's a breakthrough coming. And there's been seed sowed for years. There's been faithful prayers going up for years and years and years and years and years. In this region, there's been people calling out for revival for years and years and years, and some of them have even died. But you know what? You go in a graveyard and you look and go, those prayers are still going up. Those prayers are still going up before the Lord as a sacrifice. So I believe in Jesus' name that we're fixing to see the fullness of what God promised. I've said this before, haven't I, Mary? Many times. Haven't I said that? Do you ever get tired of hearing me say that? You may. But better me say that than, well, praise God, we'll never see a move of God. It's too late. Oh, I'm too old for that to happen, praise God. I'm 60, man. I'm drawing a check. Now I'm getting a Social Security check. Let's give up, praise God. We'll just hand it over to the next generation. You are the older generation now, guys. Not old, but you got grown children. And when I met y'all, they were, I don't know, was Logan. Logan was born. He was 5. Was Samuel? He was 3. And Janet, Lord, all the way back to the barn, almost to the beginning, we've been crying out for a move of God. We've been crying out for revival. We've been crying out for the supernatural. We've been crying out to see the dead raised. We've seen some stuff, but not the fullness of what we know God wants to do in this generation. And you guys that are coming in, you are what we've been praying for. Justin, you are what we've been praying for. So we can't go, oh, well, it's no, man, it's happening. It's happening. It's happening. It's happening. God is pouring out His Spirit on all flesh in these last days. And no matter how sad this country gets, the power of God is not going to be stifled. The power of God is going to come forth. There's going to be souls. There's going to be revival. There's going to be signs and wonders and miracles. And you know what? We do see that, okay? God's done some amazing things. We've seen some miracles. But you know what? Things are flip-flopping. The breakthrough is. Here's the breakthrough. Opal, here's the breakthrough. Right now, when something miraculous happens, it's like, whoa, that is awesome, God. We can't believe that. When the breakthrough happens, it's going to be, oh, wow, God, that didn't happen. Why not? It always happens. It's going to be the norm for the supernatural to happen. It's going to be the norm when people come through those doors. They're going to be expecting to see healings, cancer gone, the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear. You're going, oh, now, man, you know, Jesus could do that, but, eh. What's the Bible say? He says, greater works will you do even than I did. Jesus came to what? Destroy the works of the enemy. Don't it just make you mad when God gets a rap for disease and death? That ain't God. He didn't come to steal, kill, and to destroy, did he? He came to give life and life abundantly. Life abundantly. Good jobs, better jobs. Name it and claim it. No? No? So if you want to prosper in God, go out and buy you one of those $900 million lottery tickets. It'd probably be well over a billion. Did it get one? It didn't. Did it get one, or is it nobody won it? Oh, maybe we could go in as a church and we could all split it. It would still be plenty for everybody. Do you think that's pretty biblical? Because, yeah, that is biblical. Because they rolled dice to see who was going to be the new apostle. I'll shut up. See, this is going out on the World Wide Web, and the people are going to say, that pastor down at Faith Harvest was advocating they buy lottery tickets. You ever notice when they're interviewing people, man? You ever notice when they're interviewing people at the supermarket or whatever? First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to bless my church with part of this. Praise God. It's like, if God hears this, I know he's going to let me win because, you know. I used to have guys at work come up to me. If I ever win the lottery, man, I'm going to pay your church off. I'm like, I don't want that money. They're like, what? But I've kind of changed my... If you want to pay the church off, go ahead. That's okay. Janet taught me that. She said the wealth of the wicked will be released to the righteous. So I guess that's okay. We got a bunch of food, and a couple $100 to buy meat from the Party Time liquor store. Let me tell you something about interesting about that, too. We used to pray that God would not allow that to come into Greenville. We used to pray you shut it down, God. One day I was out prayer walking around Greenville. It's like, no, what's going to happen is this false peace called liquor is going to draw people into Greenville, but then they're going to feel the presence of God, and they're going to get the real peace of God when a revival fire falls on them. Yeah! Lord, we praise you, God. I thank you for these folks that love you. Y'all just stand up and receive that blessing because y'all love Jesus. God, I thank you for these folks that love you, God. I thank you that all the fruit of the Spirit is manifested in them today and this week. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, God, just flow over them like living water. I thank you, God, that you bless them going out and you bless them coming in, Jesus. I thank you for favor with people, favor in workplaces, favor in the kingdom of God, Lord. I thank you, God, for strength, that y'all will run and not grow weary, that you'll rise up with wings like eagles and fly high above the situation. And God, everyone that's sick, whether they're here or they're not here, that arthritis and rheumatism and back ailments, God, will be under the blood of Jesus. And God, we're asking for an upright people that can run and not grow weary, God. They could complete the course, and they could complete it on a dead run. God, we thank you for that second wind anointing to just blow over this house, to blow over these people. And God, we ask, and y'all agree with this, we ask for souls this week. We ask you, God, that you will put us in divine appointments with people. Give us opportunities to speak the word of life, God, and let it be fertile soil, God, in the name of Jesus. And God, when we open our mouth, even though we're afraid, we open our mouth and say the word Jesus, you will fill our mouth. And God, we just thank you for all your goodness. We thank you for all your goodness. Your mercy endures forever, Lord. We love you, we love you, we love you, we love you, we love you. That was one of them old Jesus Freak hippie songs. Y'all can sing it. Let's sing that. Sing that to Jesus. I love you, 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 I love you. I love you, 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 I love you. I love you, Jesus, I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. I love you. Deep breath. I love you, 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 I love you. Jesus, I love you. We love you, Jesus. We lift up holy hands, and Lord, we say to you that we truly love you, God, and we thank you for everything you have done for us, everything you've done for us, God. We don't love you because of that, though. We love you because you are Lord and you are King. And you loved me so much that you gave your only begotten Son so that if I would just believe and confess and follow you, Jesus, I won't perish, but I'll have eternal life in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Y'all pray. Our intercessors, pray right now. Pray right now. Pray right now. Pray right now. If you've never, ever given your life to Jesus, if you don't know him, and knowing in the Bible literally means relationship. Joseph did not know Mary until after Jesus was born. And I'm not talking about a sexual thing. I'm talking about an intimate relationship. If you don't know him, if you know all about him, if you know about his commandment, no matter how much you know about him, do you know him? Do you know him in the power of his resurrection? Do you know that you're forgiven your sins? Do you know you're a sinner and have fallen short of the glory of God? Do you know the King of the universe? Do you know him? 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 Someday you'll stand before God and he'll ask you a question. And God's going to let forth one of two answers. He's either going to say, enter into the joy of the Lord, you good and faithful servant, or depart from me, I never knew you. Do you know him? If you don't know him, if you're not sure, come up here right now and let's pray. Let's get this thing under the blood. Let's let Jesus set us free. Let's let Jesus give us new life. If you need to do that, please come up here now. Come up here now. Don't deny him. Don't deny him. The Bible says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. When he hung naked on the cross, he looked, and because of you, he did that. He was not ashamed of you. Praise you, Lord. 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 You are good. You are good. You are good. You are good. Lord, we send that invite out into the highways and the hedgerows right now. We speak that invite into Greenville, Indiana, God, up and down Highway 150. That invite, the divine invitation. Jesus is calling you. Jesus is calling you. Jesus is calling you. Fill these altars, God, not for the sake of this church, but for the sake of the kingdom of God. Who? Praise the Lord. Revival. Souls. Who? Yes, breakthrough. 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 Who? Purabasite korabade. Divine breakthrough. Mighty God. 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 Lord of lords and King of kings. Lord of lords and King of kings, glory, hallelujah, King of kings and Lord of lords, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of peace, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of peace, glory, hallelujah. King of kings and Lord of lords, glory, hallelujah. King of kings and Lord of lords, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of peace, glory, hallelujah. I like the way Petra did that myself. Well, if you need prayer, please don't leave here if you got a need. Please don't leave if you got a need. Anything. If your soul's disturbed, the Bible says he came to heal your soul. He came to restore your soul. If there's things in your mind that aren't right, if you're thinking wrong, come on up here and get prayer. God wants to deliver you from that. If you got things in your body that need to be touched, oh, but I've been up there before. Hey, you know what? Keep knocking. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Don't give up. God likes perseverance. What did Dave Hogan say? Faithfulness and perseverance. Word that was invented just a couple days ago. Hallelujah. Well, y'all, if you don't need prayer, awesome having y'all out this morning. Loved having you. Martin, Danny. That's amazing. That right there is a miracle that I remembered that. I'm glad to have y'all out, really. Praise the Lord. Were you making fun of me, Sarah? Okay. Thought you were.